St. Paul writes, "May Christ dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." St. Paul's gracious enough to record one of his prayers in Ephesians chapter 3. He's praying for you. He prays for you. He writes, "For this reason, I bow my knees before my Father." And then he writes out his prayer. It's a good prayer. He's praying for you. He's praying for us. He's praying for the church. He prays for the Lord to strengthen you with his power. He prays for Christ to dwell in your hearts through faith. He prays for you to be rooted and grounded in his love. He prays that you would have the strength to comprehend what is the breadth and length and height and depth of the love of Christ. And lastly, he prays that you would be filled with all the fullness of God. St. Paul prays for you. And with a passing glance, as you journey through the scriptures, it may seem like nothing more than a soft, friendly prayer, a welcomed word, a thoughtful and caring act on behalf of St. Paul. It's nice that he prays for me, we think. But on to the next thing, because there's so much more of the Bible left to read. 65 more books that I have to study. I have to pass on the faith to my children. There's so much more here that I have to go through, but stop. Let's stay here for a moment. Let's go deeper into St. Paul's prayer, because it will challenge you, as it challenged me throughout this week, with these words, that you, being rooted and grounded in love. Rooted and grounded, is that an accurate description of your life right now? Or does it seem like all over the place? The soil around you, it's more dry and crumbly and breaking up than it is grounded. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't consider myself one rooted and grounded when I stop and think about it. More shaky than I am sturdy. You get thrown by so many voices today. You know, growing up, you had the voice of your parents, which was hard enough at times, but at least it was singular, consistent, simple, and direct. You had the voices of your friends and teachers as well, but somewhere along the line, a lot more voices joined the fray. It's hard to be rooted and grounded with so many voices. We jumped on social media sites and we began to hear a lot more voices. We got addicted to screens a generation before that, and we raised our children to be screenaholics too. Everyone telling us always what to do, what to think, how to believe. Everyone offering up their unsolicited advice and personal opinions on anything and everything, and all the while it chipped away at the soil day by day that you and I used to be grounded in. Ray Kethledge, he wrote a book. He was being considered for a Supreme Court justice just not long ago. In his book, Lead Yourself First, he offers up this quote, "Our minds are accessible as never before. The point hardly needs elaboration. Emails, texts, tweets, and the rest, not to mention the internet itself, all swarm about with input from other people's minds. And the bulk of these inputs are by their nature superficial. These inputs distract our mind to no end, tying it down to the mere surface of thought, and they do the same to the soul, keeping us from drilling down to where reserves of inspiration lie, serious thinking, inspired thinking seldom arises from texts while eating lunch, while driving your car, and thinking about your emails. Responding to these inputs generates as much thought and as much inspiration as swatting after flies. They deaden both the mind and the soul. Deaden soil. Superficial soil. Soil that keeps me from drilling down. Now that sounds more like the soil you and I are familiar with today. How quickly you and I learned to uproot our convictions, to jump into the soil of others to win their approval. How quickly we stopped challenging our own thinking and simply got in line with conventional wisdom and popular opinion of today. We lost our footing to think on our own, to take a stand and be rooted in something that we actually believe in the face of a cultural tie that is, well, everyone else's view, because the soil underneath us shifted. And we fell into this collective crumble of a fast-paced culture, rooted and grounded, Paul, in what? Life's wishy-washy. We get tossed to and fro by everyone's opinions. I see the effects of it in my own soul. You see, the soil around us, it's one thing. But let's stop here and go a little bit deeper, Paul challenges you. What about your roots? Don't go anywhere else. What about you? Deeper into the depths of your own soul, the places only you know of, the places that nobody else sees because, well, the roots there are too unseemly. Don't you see? St. Paul is challenging you to take a real, honest look at your life, to learn more about who you really are, to learn more about your sin, to learn more about your weaknesses, your limitations, to learn about all the places that you so quickly run to in order to find some sense of foundation, but it's all shifting sand. St. Paul, he's challenging you to learn more about yourself, your needs, and your sin. Well, we know, though, that St. Paul's writing to Christians. Christians who have already been forgiven. That in him we have the forgiveness of our sins. It's been done. They have the love of Jesus. But St. Paul, he wants to challenge you so that you see these places, so that God can come in and say, see, you knew I loved you, but now you know I love you even there. You knew that I loved you, but now you see I loved you even there. For what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of the love of Jesus that for you, with all your sin and stain and shifting soil and unseemly roots, he died on that cross for you. The love of Jesus, it goes deeper. It's a sure thing, and it doesn't go anywhere. It remains. It stands firm. It's resolute, even against all the things that we throw against it. His love is stronger, deeper, fuller than you or I could ever think or imagine. He'll never leave you or forsake you. He's the one steadied in the boat while the waves come crashing in. The one who stands firm while the nails are driven in his hands. He's the one who death itself couldn't even shake. And Paul's praying for you to know the love of Jesus, which surpasses all knowledge. You know he loved you. But perhaps in this moment you realize that he loves you even there, even to the furthest places of one's roots and soil. St. Paul, he was persecuting the Son of God. Quite an ugly root. And Jesus shows up in his life, and Paul's roots began to run deep in the love of Jesus. How deep the love of Christ can go. A Samaritan woman comes across Jesus. She was an adulteress. Pretty dismal root. And her roots began to sink deep in the love of Jesus. And she goes and she tells people, I met a man who told me everything I'd ever done. And yet, he loves me. The love of Jesus goes deeper and farther than you and I could ever imagine. So it is with you. The sin that you face, the roots that you've grown, the soil you find yourself in, the Lord knows all those places, and yet he showed up in your life, baptized you in his name, and grounded you in his love, sent a spirit into your hearts for him to dwell, and he's loved you every day since then. But now, St. Paul prays that you see that he loves you even there. So much of life is linear, on to the next thing. From this point to that point, from this chapter to the next. Fight that temptation as a Christian. A Christian stays put. Remains here. Don't go anywhere else. Same soil, same plant, same place, same surroundings. The only place to go is deeper. Learning more about yourself and all of your sin and limitations and weaknesses, and learning more about the love of Jesus that even goes to the furthest of places. Yes, even there. It never wavers. So stay here in his word where the Lord grounds you. He sends a spirit into your hearts for him to dwell there richly. Stay here at his table in the supper where the Lord grounds you, giving you his own very body and blood to dwell within you, bringing back dead roots back to life. Stay here in the fellowship of believers and in the love of one another, where the Lord grounds us in the unity of the Spirit, where we bear one another's burdens, share in one another's joys. That's Paul's prayer for you, for me, for us, for the whole church, so that you would be filled with all the fullness of God in Christ Jesus, who is our sure foundation. Amen.